like what he.
Peepbeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Hallow, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that posed the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting and interesting blessed training day. Praise God for the song, you know, and that's all of us. We were living wrong. We're trying to get it right. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to his Father, the Lord God, Jehovah, and to the blessed Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our keeper, our teacher, to the saints and friends, to my producer, Pastor O, amen, and his lovely wife, Pastor Sheila. I got a hit coming. Amen. And all the saints and friends and deacons, amen. And all the different students, y'all still in college, amen. All those that are listening, amen, down in Jamaica and over there in Africa, amen. I praise God for the opportunity. You know, I appreciate the compliments, comments, even the criticisms. Amen. You know, this is really a blessed life, I tell you, because, you know, I'm comfortable. With all the drama and chaos going on in the world, I'm not concerned at all. My only concern is to be doing the will of God, and that's what this life is about. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed to make this opportunity possible. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide and our comfort to help us to understand and unravel the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, and we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available to us. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us with might, especially those that are facing a multitude of challenges. Amen. From bereavement to unemployment, whatever the situation is, bless them to know and to understand. Amen. Those that have chosen you can count on you to be there for them, challenges they're facing. And many of us that can testify to the same. Father, we're asking that you bless us with a full understanding of love, the length, the width, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of Christ, which passes all understanding of man, so that we can do exceedingly and abundantly above all you think or ask according to the power that works in us. Father, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the spiritual strength and courage to carry it out, that we'll be fruitful and before you and walk upright before you. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of you, because that's the primary objective, Lord. We count on you to supply the revelation that we need in this hour. We need, amen, we count on you to bring us closer, to give us clarity, to help us to get to the place that you desire us to be so that you can even reveal even more. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue on the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's something when it's sad that so many people don't read the Bible. And then when they do, they just read it and don't give a thought to it. You know, I guess it's just my nature. I have an analytical type nature. I want to know why, you know, and particularly if it's in the Bible, why is it there? I mean, we really have to think about the character of the person responsible for this. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 19 and 20. Because I think we forget who we are dealing with. It's not your pastor. It's not me. It's not anybody that you know on earth. This is about our life, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, the Lord God Jehovah. And we're talking about people that are on a level that we can't even, if you went to every university on the planet, you would know so little about them that you couldn't even measure it. I mean, we're talking something. We are closer to that point, you know, of what this is about, or who we really are, what we really are, as far as the God man, little G. But the fact of these teachings in the Word, And the challenges they impose on us is to help us to realize that there's a critical need for discipline because of where we are going, because of who we are, because of what God made us. Oh, My bad. 1 Peter 1:19. Wasn't saying what I thought. Okay. Amen. 1:19:20 and 21. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as to the light that shineth in the dark place unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. Now, I know that almost sounds like code. It is Bible code to a degree. You can imagine what it sounded like back then. Amen. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, what he is talking about, this is Peter, what he's talking about, he's really giving them clarity on the how they can have confidence in the word. Okay, you got to remember, you got new people. Those of you who are new that understand, most of the scripture, the foundational scriptures that are used in the New Testament originated in the Old Testament. Now, they tell forth or reveal the heart and the intent of God. Because the Bible helps us distinguish our mind from God's mind, our perceptions from God's perceptions. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be His way or no way at all. You know? I just happened to write, they got some good films if you got YouTube, but one, they got the original, Distant Thunder. Now, this came out back in the 70s, and it was on video then, and, what I like the characterization of Christians that got left behind, and how they did not realize that any old way was acceptable to God. The rapture, just like it's going to do when it does happen, is going to divide asunder. It's going to let you know who is and who ain't. See, because, a lot of the things that we think are all right, because they're not sin, they're not even a part of the will of God. And one of the things that in James 4:17 said, to know if to do good and do if not. You know, I watched what happened during the in each every president. I can watch and see where people now with interactive social media. I can hear what people thinking, read what people are thinking, particularly Christians, the ones that I know, and how they can speak without considering God's opinion on the issue. And it really is just amazing. This is not, remember this, you don't want to find this out the hard way, and you don't want to find this out after, I don't know if it'll cause you to be left behind, but freedom of speech doesn't apply to the body of Christ. You don't have the right to say whatever you think, because I'm not teaching on that. I'm still on, and that is part of love. Because if my love doesn't work, if I'm not in alignment with God, love and the power of God are never separated. Love and the power of God are never separated. And we do not know totally what God wants. Well, we don't know the fullness of the loud of His understanding. Of what this is about. We don't know how long. We know it. I know this is, we're talking about preparation for, think about this. Being prepared for something a billion years down the road. I know it's challenging because we are so programmed to be religious that we don't even stop to think, or even this is the sad part. There's every issue should be brought before God. If you don't understand it, you should bring it before God. You might get a witness from somebody, but you really want to get the original from God. I get on these concepts of where I come from. Well, when I want to know something, I ask God about it. And almost every time, he'll send three or four preachers, because I listen to a lot of different ministries, and they'll say the same thing he said. You know, God will give witness. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit will give us witness. So the thing here, this level of love, if you remember, we're going to be going back to Luke chapter 6. And it's really amazing about that chapter. Or what's amazing was the commentaries that I was reading, hoping to just get some insight. Because most things that we, it's amazing, most things that we think of today, John Darby, Adam Clark, Matthew Henry, back in the 16th, 17th century, held the same perception because of the same Holy Spirit. God never changes. This is what Peter is talking about, the sure word of prophecy. This is the word, see, the word, the law, when Jesus said the law, the prophet, the law is what God put out. That's what he put in writing. And the prophets, God give them the ability to break it down, to bring clarity to it, as Ezra said, give sense unto the word, so that it will have meaning to you, and they're supposed to help you bring your character to the place that God desire it to be because of the power level that he is going to give us in part two. And we are fastly approaching that day. See, Jesus, by virtue of the fact, let's go to 1 Timothy 3:16. By virtue of him being Jesus, I remember back, see, when I got delivered, I was at what they call a apostolic church. And they had this thing about, they still have this thing about it, and it ain't a bad thing, about Jesus' name, and particularly in water baptism, even to the point of telling people they wasn't saved if the pastor, when they baptized them, didn't say in Jesus' name. That's not true. What's significant about baptism is the person being baptized, the person doing the baptism, needs to be sure that that person has asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Because if that ain't happened, then they are just getting wet. Okay? But I remember these similar organizations that held baptism in a different level. They send the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And they was doing what the Bible say don't do, which is debate Titus 3:9. Anyway, there's this issue, and there, you will find in Christendom organizations that just get out of love over that issue. That's the best way to say that. Because if I don't agree with you, if I know for sure by the word you are wrong, the Bible gives me instruction. It gives me instructions in Galatians 6:1. It said, brother, if a brother is taken in a fault, you with your spiritual restore such one in the spirit of meekness, because the same thing might happen to you, which is highly likely. Because I'm going to tell you, man, I don't want to discourage you young ones, new ones, but once you start particularly praying more, because you got to imagine praying is when you grabbing the devil by his ankle and then just slamming him back and forth and calling him a punk. You ain't just doing something religious. You are invading his, what he considered his territory. Remember, he's the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. But read this. We're in 1 Timothy 3:16, and to me, it's plain. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Then you get people arguing about when John baptized Jesus, who is in heaven speaking, and you see all three of them together. God speaking from heaven, the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven, and Jesus in the water. Listen, we're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday. Logic on man's standard, throw that out. If you know what? I heard a phrase. If it's in the Bible, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, that's it. Because in the end of the day, it's still going to come back to this issue. Love. I mean, this is the, one of the things I noticed right off about the pastor that I'm under now is that he would make an earnest effort to never say anything negative about any other Christian that believes that Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind and they are members of the body of Christ. Because if his love is, remember this, God is love, 1 John 4:8, God is love. So when I'm letting love flow, what am I doing? I am letting God into the picture. You go back, Genesis 1:26, God gave man dominion, so God can't come into the world unless we let him in, and he can only come through us. See how this is working out? This is why it's imperative that we live a life in submission to him. And the fact that it's called submission means that you are subject to resist. Matter of fact, I heard the man of God say it ain't submission if you agree. It's agreement. And I agree. So it's not intended to be easy, but again, the reason for the discipline is because the power level is going to be greater. During the millennial reign, Revelation 20 and 6 said we will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now in 1 John 3:20, so say we shall be like him. Now, I know they like the simplified version and think that we just going to be like him mentally and think right all the time. And that we'll be the plain old walking around on earth type people. No. Now, if you disagree with that, I challenge you. I adjure you. If that's correct, go to God in prayer and ask him. Because when you get the revelation from him, it has a whole different effect. And then you see light in a different level. The term glorified body. I said it last time. My body ain't glorified. Now, I mean, I deal with it. Jesus don't have to deal with that. See, we already knew before he died he could walk on water, but we don't think about how much power that it takes to command that. There are forces in the earth that challenge that. Gravity, for one. Okay? I mean, it's your water, you're talking about a buoyancy effect. You don't even have a solid material to stand on. So you talk about buoyancy, gravity. Then you're talking about moving on that. That's inertia. So we talk. See, it's a different thing. I was watching a minister that they were talking about how he used to get challenged because he was always trying to pull science in and give a revelation. And I know there was a big argument, a big beef about science. I remember when psychiatry was considered witchcraft. But, you know, and I'm talking about the 70s and 80s. I'm not talking about 150 years ago. I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago. Psychiatrists were considered, in some circles in Christianity, was considered witchcraft, you know. But they did not get the revelation of their role as people of power serving God. See, this is the whole situation. You know, like now with this, what do they call it, virus, the shot they're going to give you. Listen, go in there before they give you the shot. Just ask them, can you pray over it? And then when you pray over it, ask God for it. Treat it like you do food. 1 Timothy chapter 4 said it's sanctified by the word. For it's sanctified in prayer, so you pray over it. Just ask God to remove anything to present hurt, harm, and danger. You don't have to even pray a long prayer. You don't have to pray a loud prayer. You can just whisper it. You're the only one, you and the Holy Ghost, the only one need to hear it. It has to be verbal. Because of legality. So Satan or the local demon that'll be there have to acknowledge your authority. It has, that's why a demon cannot read your mind. That's the reason for verbal prayer. People are like, well, what's wrong with silent prayer? It's a legal issue, believe it or not. Them dudes, Satan is still the god of this world. He has rights. And this is what gets people. He exercises authority, Christians, because they don't do the rules. He know them. He's been at them for 5,000 years. He didn't even, he had to wait till the Bible was written, but he watched what went on. He know the rules. You can argue all you want. Everything that's going on, Satan that is doing, he know the rules. It's the Christians that ain't getting it. Yeah, you know, they busy. Now they done, we done elected a new president, so what? You still got to pray every day. Every day. 7 days a week. Y'all be good and glad it ain't 24. Why? It ain't. This president is absolutely not easier to pray for. He might be easier to stomach, okay? But it, you still. Why? Because you go back when you study the Word of God. You find out Ephesians 6:12 said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You have to stay in the mindset that you are constantly being trained by God. As the songwriter said, be like Jesus. And that is not, you know, people don't like Christianity because they don't like that they got to be like Jesus. They want to say what's on their mind. I'm going to give them a piece of your mind. You ain't got that much mind. You need to keep all the pieces you got because when you get older, you're going to have even less. This is what this is about. Now, so I'm reading these commentaries, and I go through three of them. And a matter of fact, let's pull up this scripture. That, let's go back to Luke chapter 6. And they said nothing. And so I was like, wow, wait a minute, man. This is the most one of teaching on love. That's why I love John. If you don't understand love, you can't. He said, if you don't love, you don't know God. If you don't love, you don't know God. If this is the, this is, I don't think there's really a more important issue. See, we want to do all the religious stuff as long as we don't have to just do what God say, how he say, what he say, to who he say. Remember last time, if you didn't, you could get listening to session number 4. I talked about a young man. I've had to talk to men that I didn't think deserved to live. Come on, now you stabbed your mother 50 times. You chopped your own sons up with an axe. And then God wanted to tell me, there's another case. Man that chopped his kids up with an axe, chopped his wife up with an axe, and because he got caught up with another woman. Man of God. And God tell me, I have to minister to him forgiveness. I'm like, so, listen, God got the kids, God got the wife, they ain't disappointed, they forever. See, God see things from a whole different point, but the point is, he got caught up into that. Why? Matthew 22, verses 37-39, let his love for God go, let his love for, if your wife ain't your neighbor, I don't know how much closer you can get to that. Kids, how much closer can you get to that? See how powerful that scripture is? This is a constant. And don't expect there'll be a point in your life, unless you out camping somewhere on vacation, that you won't have to deal with this. When you get back to the office on Monday, believe me, it'll be waiting on you. So that person that you work with, that boss that you work with, that got an attitude, that's what this for. Now let's reread this. And I'm going to give y'all a break. I guess you could call it that. I'm going to read out of the NIV today. It's a little more clear, but it's still same message. It's just going to make it plain. Make it plain, preacher. So, but I tell you who hear me, phrase right there, who hear me. Because this is why people don't do it. Okay, say you hear me and then don't do it. He even said that. I believe in Matthew chapter 7. You know, call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill treat you. And if somebody strikes you on the cheek, like your wife, that's your wife. You know, and I ain't going beyond that. Turn to her the other also. Someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Okay? That's somebody being robbed. Give to everyone that asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Man, this dude is deep. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. Now, you know, I had heard that phrase so long, and I was actually surprised to find that it actually was in the Bible. You know, because some people, you know, they don't seem, they know that phrase. It's amazing how many people know that. And actually, surprisingly, try to live by that. Listen, and this is one of the challenges we have, that we have to pray for people to have a revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can't do good and get into heaven. There ain't that much good for you to do. You're talking about getting into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, ain't but one way. You must be born again, born from on high, born from heaven. And that's what happens when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Okay? But, said, do to others as you would have them to do to you. And if you, now listen at this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. I'm going down here for a reason. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And this next verse, you hear a lot of time being quoted during offering time. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For what measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, like I said, verse 38, they quote a lot during offering time. But verse 38 and from 27 to 38 are connected to 38. So you can't just give and get good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, poured into your lap, if you are in consistent violation of all that I just read. You can't stand your neighbor. You can give and you might as well throw your money out the window. It's a waste. See, you know, I remember I've only had one set of prosperity tapes, and I've listened to a lot of the teachings. And the one of the things, I don't know, maybe I heard a different version is because, I don't know, because I was listening so consistently. But I noticed that each case, they would bring this issue up. If you in unforgiveness, this ain't going to work for you. If you are unloving, this ain't going to work for you. People seem to hear, think that all they do is toss the money in the bucket and God is going to reward them. This, everything in the kingdom of God is never separated from God's agenda, which is preparing kings and priests for his kingdom. Kingdom. The kingdom of God. All this is connected. This isn't here. What Jesus just said, he did not say to see if you worthy of heaven. Because I can tell you right now, without Jesus, you couldn't be. It's not possible. You know, I don't know what the room is. I remember the last time I checked. They had a room in a Renaissance hotel down here. It's the presidential suite, and it cost $25,000 a night. It might cost way more than that, because that had been some, maybe over a decade ago, or well over a decade. $25,000 a night. Two nights in there, that was when I originally paid for my house. You know, just for two nights stay there. Okay? So, if you're talking about heaven, you're talking about a place where gold is used to lay out a street and roads, okay? Whole different situation. And then we look at how much, you know, I look at some of them. I remember my wife had some surgery once, and we got the bill in the mail, and I read the whole bill, and my portion was like $1,500, and I was tripping over that. But they had paid some $28,000, and the whole event was like 3 hours. $28,000, but everybody got to get paid, right? And then here God, through the shed blood of Jesus, offering us healing. You know, I don't have no faith type that you can't get. I have common variety God faith. That's it. But, you know, the check boxes, I make sure. I mean, I was taught this by men and women of God. And the purpose was not just so I could receive the healing that is promised me, so that I could understand the source of the promise, which is God. Get it? See, think about this. Heaven don't have all these problems. Heaven don't have any problem. There's a problem arise, it get dealt with quick. There's a consistency there. You know, demons don't get to go, oops, they get out. Boom, bang, done. Okay. So God could have made, but what is this? I know during a 1,000-year period, I know that there will be two classes of people. There'll be the saints of God, saints of the Most High, then that be like Jesus. And then there'll be the regular saints that survive the tribulation that ain't like Jesus physically. The devil is tied up. He comes out to attack them at the end of the 1,000 years. He's let loose. Think about that. Why does that happen? Why would God, why don't he just take him off the scene now? The dude ain't no good. He don't plan no good. He don't think no good. He don't look no good. He ain't no good. Why God letting him run loose? Well, you know, one thing I learned from lifting weights, my spirit is the same as it always is. But what is happening, and a doctor could really explain this, is there's an awakening of muscles that I don't use. A great example. You know, this pandemic made them shut down all the roller skating rinks. My best cardio exercise is roller skating. It's like I can exercise without exercising. I'd just be enjoying it. I'd be so into it that I don't, it doesn't seem like exercise. But if you were to attach monitors to me, at times my heart rate goes up near 200 or above it. But that's that, and you're talking about a person that's 69. And this is the thing. Okay, so I had to stop skating because they stopped skating. I mean, I was so determined to skate. I have a set of outdoor roller skates. It's just challenging to find some places smooth enough to use them. But anyway, you the first thing you notice is that certain part of the muscle goes to sleep because it hasn't been used. You know, it does not take, obviously, as much muscle to walk or even to run as it does to roller skate. Matter of fact, roller skating is one step behind swimming. They say when you swim, you use 99% of your muscles, as head muscles, neck muscles, everything. So when you roller skating, I can tell you, if you know how to do it properly, you're going to use 80 to 90% of your muscle. You know, and depending on what you're trying to do when you roller skate, like a simple turnaround, remember, whenever you're doing something like this, think about this. When you're roller skating, when you're going around the curb, you're challenging centrifugal force. Then you got to prepare yourself. You're challenging inertia. You're creating inertia. See, so you're using different things, and all this is occurring in my muscle, conducted by my spirit. Think about that. See, we see things. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 1:20, the invisible things of him, God, his world, seeing what we really are. So for me to be able to control my body and to exceed norms, I have to really focus more of my spirit on those areas. Now, look at how intricate those areas are. We're talking about strands of muscle that I have to send energy through in order for them to develop the intensity of resistance to support me in doing what I'm doing. All right? Now, let's bring this back into the realm that we're talking about. And this is what Challenges for Love does. You know, I've seen something horrific today, and it really saddened my heart. Somebody sent me a TikTok video, and I normally don't watch them. I really don't. This particular person, and I couldn't even be sure about the person because, you know, they stealing people's names and all that, but I just clicked on it, and it resulted in a double homicide over a snow shovel. I was just shocked. They hollering and fussing and cussing and calling each other names, and now you got two people. I don't know what happened to them. They may have went to hell, may not, the way they was cussing, but I know you get mad enough. I'm a Christian and not, you'll cuss. Okay, so I can't say because they were cussing and going to hell. I don't know. But I know they did. This was live, real. And now another person going to prison. Why? They didn't love their neighbor. They didn't love their neighbor. And this is what God is trying to show us, because look at we have power now, and I am totally confident we will have extremely more than we can imagine. The Bible says this is when it's using those terms exceedingly and abundantly. It means that most people only focus that on money, because that's usually when they hear it. But it goes deeper than that. Even to achieve those areas still comes the alignment. This is what people do when I find people. I remember years ago, decades ago, this pastor, you know, he was preaching prosperity. Okay. And then he got caught selling drugs because he wanted to look rich. Listen, money does not save. They said the kingdom of God is not drinking and meat. Okay. It ain't food. It ain't about what people see. The one of the things that this area, walking in love under this condition, loving your enemy, will show what kingdom you're in. Because that's the thing that we have to be consistent about. And as we grow on through time, it's going to happen even more. Why? Because people have been requesting God withdraw. Think about that. They say first they put him out of the schools. Actually, they put him out the homes. You know, because I didn't go to a school that had prayer every day. Matter of fact, I didn't even like doing the Pledge of Allegiance. I never get it. My personal opinion, I just don't like it. I would lead a pledge to God, but I you know. But even at that, the issue was I come from a prayerful household. I come from a household that the principles of how we had to conduct our lives were based on the word. See? And this is the thing. See, if Jesus has to tell us to do this, and because you know that ain't natural, love your enemies. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Now, think about it. If you've been paying any attention to what's been going on in America, particularly in the last couple of years, there's no exception to this, because there's more of it. We don't get an exception to this, because God is only looking at one thing. He ain't watching those who hate you as much as he's watching how you respond to those who do hate you. Because at the end of the day, them people that hate you don't have your access to power. They don't have your access. See, God is love. We just read that. Great is the mystery of godliness. Matter of fact, I want to read 1 Timothy. You don't have to turn that to that. I want to read it in a different. I just want to change one word, and that's God. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of the love of God. For love was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Because that's what Jesus is, the manifestation of the love of God. And the love of God interpretation is in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. See, that has to be implanted in your mind, because if you read it, there is no emotion in that. You read it. Matter of fact, let's read it, because I want this to be clear, because I think today is going to be the last day I spend on love, because like I said before, if you don't master love, you'll challenge yourself. It'll be hard to have the joy that you need. It'll be hard to have the joy that you need. See, because they're connected. Because one of the things you want is that consistency with God. And when you got a consistency with God, it's just not hard to take your peace. You can't take peace. This is why people can get their heads cut off and sing, you know, because they know they're more trust. It does reveal your trust for God, because at the end of the day, they got to answer to Him. They got to answer. I want to answer to Him about how I responded to the situation, not what they did. See, and like if you've been married, you know, really get to experience this. I don't know. I give me a moment here. I got like most people 10 or 12 versions of the Bible, but I'm just partial to the King James, because they're words that give emphasis that I think should be there, and clarity as to the objective. And because most people don't get it, it says charity never fails. Charity is the word agape love. Charity suffers long and is kind at the same time. So when God is saying I love you, when you're telling somebody you love them, this is what you're saying. You're speaking that the conditions that of the relationship are not based on their behavior. God didn't save me because I was acting right, and if that ain't love, I don't know what it is. I mean, that was it. You know, and then He had to wait. Even though I was just 25, He had to wait 25 years. Well, I would give at least 20, you know, the first 5 you can take, because you're a baby. So then there's the development, and then there was the time after I got saved. You know, even after I read, I don't know, when the first time I read this, I didn't like it, but I knew it was God. It says, charity suffers long and is kind at the same time. Suffering and giving in kind, huh? Ain't that what you do when you love your neighbor? Ain't that what you do when you love those that hate you? See, because you're working something in the spiritual realm. You're working something. Your exercise, one thing for sure, your exercise, if you reverse this, you can see the reverse. You know, you're basically, like I say, just grabbing Satan by the face and pushing him back. Again, I just have to say, for those, because people I've seen over the years, I've seen, you know, one of the challenges where I had to, for me, there was a situation to show love was to do nothing. Because this guy had beat this woman, and it took a whole lot of love for me not to pistol whip him, I'm going to tell you. Because I hate men. That's a sight I can't deal with. You know, you want to fight, go fight a man. Go fight a man bigger than you. That's what I do. You know, it says, is kind, charity, envious not. You know, I'm seeing right now ministries closing down because they thought it was all about just having a big church full of people, because they saw a pastor with a big church full of people and they wanted to have a church full of people. You know, it's ironic when I heard my pastor say one time, his whole goal was to have a church with just 500, and he was considered, that was it. He was going to be happy with that. I quit counting after, I don't know, I think 1,100 pastors under him worldwide. I said, okay. You know, that pastor called him and said, I want to be under you, which is good because he's under somebody. You know, everybody should be under somebody. But we shouldn't be envying because, you know, and one, you may be envying fake folk. I Warren Buffett said, when the tide go out, we'll know who's swimming naked. Okay? So a lot of folk right now, their faith is being challenged. But what empowers faith? This is what empowers faith. Faith works by love. That's in Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. So by love, God is love. You get the connection. So this is why you have to have this consistency. And this is why a demon will come up to try to shake that. This is why they do that. They exist. They speak in your head first person. They, you know, that's how they get people. That's how them people wind up shooting each other, listening to some demons. And now they down there. The demons will be down there eventually, or wherever they is. You know, God bless them. You know, I don't know about this. I hear people say, rest in peace. I'm like, well, that depends on if they had peace with God before they left here. But anyway, but whether there be, what we got? Okay, love. It's not easily provoked, doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, thinks no evil. See, that when you look at somebody, you're talking about looking at a person doing evil and then not think evil. Why? Because I cannot apply the forces of God if I do. And that should be the objective all the time. I cannot personalize this. See? And this is the case. And a lot of times, and You're gonna experience being bombarded the more you listen. We was talking about lifting weights. How do a guy get stronger? He puts more weight on the bar. Who gonna put more weight on your bar? God gonna put more weight on your bar. Read Job. He just let it pile on up there. See? And God expect, you know, he did well. He said in all this Job did not sin. And there's some other things going on, y'all need to read about it. I don't think y'all ready for that. But anyway. Says it bears all things, believes all things. Now, it's talking about bearing all things coming at you from a person. Not just your car breaking down. That's, you know, you can let AAA pick it up, take it to the shop and fix it. But that ain't the same as a person getting on your nerve. And that's challenging. Because now we're finding so many things about people. People don't tell you when they get married all the trauma that's went on in their life. They should be analyzed by psychiatrists before they allow people to get married. Because you marry somebody that was sexually abused by her uncle, and then you get in a relationship, and you get married to her, and now all this stuff starts surfacing, and you the villain. And now you locked in, which is this part of it. You locked into praying for them. See, and now you're going to go through the periods of deprivation because they're facing challenges. So the thing that you got married for, which was sex, let's face it, if it wasn't for the sex, you wouldn't have got married. Now, I know from that, I'd get married if it wasn't for the sex. Yeah, you ain't been married. You ain't had sex. But, you know, let's face it, that's the hooker. So now you got to deal with that. That's in every area, you're going to be challenged. Why? Because the challenge is preparing you to be in authority, in power. This is power. When God tells us in 1 Timothy, again, to pray for those in authority, he is assigning us the ability and the authority to call. If a government is not functioning properly, as far as God concerned, it's because that church in that area under that government is not functioning properly. It ain't the government. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the only way we can function properly is to function under the Constitution, a.k.a. the Bible, accordingly. We can't complain and murmur. You know, if God did some of the things he did, you need to read the Old Testament. Particularly, read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and see how God, if God had did people last year the way he did the Israelites when they came across, when they left Egypt, COVID would have been the equivalent of a cough. It would have been people, they'd had to come up with a systematic way to bury people every few minutes. Because they got to running off at the mouth about the one governmental leader, which was Moses. And there were times when God killed 90,000 people for their mouth. 90,000. 2,000 people died in an instant. Strapped straight to hell. 90,000. Think about that. In a second. Another time, I think it was like 50,000. Why? Because of their mouth. Moses' own sister, she got the mouthing off about. See, all, what you're seeing there is what happened when love is not dominant. See, because the scripture, love your neighbor, began in the Old Testament. It didn't begin in the New Testament. It began in the Old Testament. Anyway, so it's always been that. Now, what you have is an evolution of the process. But all the way through it, when you read, if you read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, but particularly the whole Old Testament, thinking on two issues, loving God and loving your neighbor, praying, because see, the children of Israel could pray to God. He was their God. It wasn't just priests made intercession for sins, but you could have prayed. There were people that prayed that weren't priests in the Bible. God heard their prayers. There was one, I can't think of her name, but she prayed. She wanted a son, and she gave birth to Samuel. So you know that has always been. But the key factor to the prayer was the reason God laid out all those laws and regulations in there. Why? Because it challenges your spirit. Challenge your spirit, man. Because what was the purpose? Now, they didn't even have the Old Testament. Remember, everybody in the Bible didn't have a Bible, so they didn't get to read 1 John 3:20. And even the people that got to read 1 John 3:20 never thought about the fact that they would be just like Jesus, because the word hadn't got around just what Jesus was like. The revelation hadn't got around what Jesus was like, and I didn't get nowhere near where I wanted to get. Because, you know, the fact that I wanted to talk about the fact that Matthew Henry and Darby and those, they, when you look at the era that they were in, the challenges that was going on with the government, I can only assume, and in one case, it was the issue of what's going on in America in relation to slavery and all the violence that was going on, and not knowing one simple thing, Luke 22:36, where they could defend themselves. See, it's called a paradox. When you have situations that are seemingly totally opposite, that's a paradox. Okay, you saying love your neighbor, but I can defend myself. And Paul talked about it in Romans 12:18. He said, if it be possible. So you can't cookie cutter this. This is why I say that, you know, loving your neighbor don't mean a woman has to stay under a wife beater, or a husband has to stay under a husband beater, because they got those these days. This is a different world. This is because I heard a man of God say the other day, as God draws back more, the violence will increase. And I've seen women do things that, you know, it's something, man. I had a situation. I ain't gonna even talk about that. Well, we had to deal with this female at a medical facility. This woman was as crazy as all get out. She was like 200 pounds, and we did what we did, and they wasn't happy about it. But because she a female, she don't get to beat up on nobody. But all this, why? She wasn't operating in love. I don't know what the situation is, so our love was, I didn't pull my gun, I stick it in my mouth and pull the trigger. That's love. I mean, it is. I'm telling you, when people spit on you, if you have never been spit on, you don't know what that does to you. You don't know what the restraint level is. But we are here because our spirits possess power. That's why you can walk and talk. You really got to look into what type of energy forces it take to walk and to talk. That's tremendous. Words come out of your mouth and they pick up speed to 600 miles an hour. That's deep. But anyway, to be able to make this journey, to have the power that you need to do this, it has to begin with Jesus. It has to come from on high. You cannot mentally assent to this. People have tried and failed. It's challenging enough with the power of God. You can't do it without it. And God is entrusting anybody into his kingdom forever that does not have the power. doesn't have it. And that power comes through one person only. His name is Jesus. You can't go to Congress to get it. You can't buy it. So, and it's a simple process. Very simple process. Just simply say this prayer with me. Father God, I believe that Jesus is your son, and I believe that you sent him to die for our sins. And I admit that I am a sinner. And I ask him to come into my life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I take you at your word. I believe you and that I have received Jesus. And I thank you for my salvation right now in Jesus' name. And if you're already a Christian and you fell by the wayside, there's a lot of challenges to come. And a lot of things that we know now, some of the stuff we didn't even know 20 years ago. And that's only because we didn't have men and women of God that would dig it out. Well, we ourselves didn't dig it out, you know. So just simply say this, Father God, your word said in 1 John 1:8-9, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. And right now, I acknowledge all my sins and I ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what other gods do, but that's one of the really things I like about my God. And this is the thing you have to remember about God. When he say he forgive you, he forgive you. Don't, you know, if you want to understand why you did what you did, that's one thing. But don't ask him to forgive you because you don't feel like you're forgiven. It ain't don't work like feeling. It works by what you believe. And with that, next week, we will begin with another side of this, which is joy. But understand this, recycle this. Don't just play this one time. I listened to the last version 3 times. See, because I be saying stuff that come from the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I have my notes, and I be trying to go with my notes, and he like, look, nah, I got this. See, because he will change the whole message if one person somewhere that may even a week from now going to listen to this, that had not listened today, he'll change the whole message. So I listen, I go back, and I'm like, man, you was good. I'm not taking credit. This all belongs to the Holy Ghost. And with that, I say, remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. Walk in the blessings of God.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight.
He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. That love, I gotta have a plug. I gotta have a plug. Got many blessings and they from them above. Because I gotta have a plug. I gotta have a plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.